Okay, so I'm truly honored for this opportunity to be in front of you today. I'm really glad for being here in front of such a distinguished audience. Thanks so much, the organization of the Research and Forum, for having me. Today, my name is Dante. I'm an assistant professor at ISEC, the business school from the University of Lisbon. The paper that I'm going to present to you today is developed with my co-author, Isabel Lorenzo, and talks about a comprehensive review of RFS research using a specific type of text mining approach. So, all of us are familiar with the mandatory adoption of RFRS in European Union countries in 2005, which means that in this year, we are celebrating an important landmark for this important event in international accounting overall. But of course, we cannot forget many other jurisdictions that mandated RFRS adoption as well, such as Singapore, or even Brazil, Canada, Malaysia, Peru, and many other jurisdictions that it's simply impossible to cite all of them in this presentation. But the point is that throughout these years and after all this time, many institutions, regulators, and governments asked themselves, okay, what we have learned from RFRS adoption after all those years, or even what are, in fact, the benefits that we experience from RFRS adoption throughout this time. As academics and researchers, we could ask ourselves something similar. After years of worldwide IFRS adoption, what do academic studies truly reveal about it? And motivated by this question, by this reflection, we are here in this paper analyzing a comprehensive setting of more than 1,000 scientific articles on RFRS published in top-tier journals over 40 years using a machine learning approach. And more specifically, we employ here a LDA model, topic model in our analysis, in order to map and having a landscape, if I could say this, to identifying patterns and topics within the field. This is our main objective here. So, since its widespread adoption, RFRS has getting attention of academics, reflecting its profound implications for corporate reporting or even market behaviors or regulatory compliance, just to cite on a few implications for a few topics. And naturally, as the volume of RFRS research continues to grow, the complexity of understanding these contributions grows as well. And we acknowledge in our paper that there exist some literature reviews talking about RFRS research in broad terms. And even though they are insightful, they are mainly focused on broad effects of changings from local gaps to RFRS. For example, and usually treating specific topics such as earnings management or even earnings quality in broad terms. And here we are doing something different. We are here contributing to this literature considering that we are implementing here a taxi mining approach to provide a comprehensive understanding of this literature, aiming to map here the main patterns and topics within the field in a large scale. Our contribution here is at least in three main aspects. We expect here contributing to this literature, not only finding these patterns related to RFRS research, but also providing here a replicable framework for conducting large-scale analysis of the literature, like which is the case of accounting research. We are also here providing an overview of some topics that are not well analyzed in a deep way by previous literature, such as the topic of RFRS versus US GAAP standards that I'm going to discuss a little bit better in a while. And finally, we are contributing here with the literature by providing here an important discussion about how those topics, those patterns, can contribute in a way for the IASB's current working projects. Regarding our research design, we are analyzing here papers that are available in Scopus, using some keywords to identify them, such as RFRS and IAS keywords, searching in titles, abstracts, and keywords as well. Of course, we are using here just articles that are in English to facilitate our topic model. We are considering here all papers published across ABS rankings, not only in accounting field, but across scientific domains such as finance as well, where we find some papers in RFRS. And after kicking out some articles not precisely related to RFRS or even regarding ESG, sustainability issues, or even public sector accounting, we are using here in our main analysis 141 papers. Here it's our data of articles breaking down by years between 1984 and 2025. Here, precisely between 2000 and 2015, we can see a clearly grow of RFRS research, and it's precisely in this time that we can see two most cited papers in RFRS literature, which is these ones by Lius and Verhecke and Barth et al. And the peak in RFRS research appeared in 2018 with 64 papers published. To conduct our LDA model, our topic analysis, we are using here as the main input the introduction sessions of the papers, mainly the introduction sessions. For a very small part, it was necessary to use the abstract, but in broad terms, it was indeed the introduction sessions. We got these introductions and converted them to lower cases. We removed punctuations, numerical digits. It was also necessary to delete English stop words and domain specifics words as well. Finally, we converted all of those introductions in a bag of words representations, and we treated sparsity here, removing words occurring in fewer than 10 documents and in more than 90% of the documents as well. And finally, we apply our model in order to read all of those documents and find clusters similar in terms of content. This choice regarding the number of topics is something based on some indexes, well-known, established in studies using this approach. More precisely, we use it here, the coherence scores and the log perplexity scores that will basically reveal how the clusters, the topics, are indeed good in terms of interpretability and coherence in broad terms. And here you can see the 10 topics that I'm going to comment about each of them more specifically, at least to give you some highlights about what we found here. Here we can see the 10 most cited papers in RFRS research. Among these 10 most cited papers, we can see six papers talking about economic and financial effects of RFRS adoption. We also can see one paper talking specifically about RFRS versus US GAAP. We can see here also two topics talking about earnings quality related issues that was clustered precisely in this topic. And finally, one topic regarding an important debate for accounting fair value in topic number 10, where is discussed implementation and discretions in accounting practice regarding RFRS. Here we can see the number of citations for each cluster. And here, the most cited cluster is the first one regarding the economic and financial effects of RFRS adoption. But also the cluster concerning convergence and harmonization related issues, as well as earnings quality related themes, seems to be also very cited clusters within the field. Here you can see the top 20 prolific authors in RFRS, the authors with more production and the authors also with more numbers of citations. Interestingly, we can see, for example, Liu's, just to cite one of them, and Tarka as authors with not only a huge amount of citations, but also with a good production, which means that those authors are not prolific, but also developing high impact RFRS research. So I could easily handle an entire presentation for each of those topics individually, but considering time issues, I'm just giving you some highlights about what we found here analyzing the studies clustered in each of those topics. For example, in topic number one regarding economic and financial effects, we found many papers analyzing RFRS adoption and its impact on disclosure, transparency, and cost of capital. We found here many papers talking about strong effects and how these strong effects indeed depend on enforcement regimes. We also document implemented many, many benefits, such as reduced information asymmetry or even higher liquidity and improved investment efficiency, just to cite one of those topics. Regarding the topic number two, concerning convergence and harmonization, in broad ways, the papers in this topic analyze national pathways towards RFRS alignment and institutional resistance. Something interesting and consistently find in these papers is the persistence influence of local accounting traditions, even in post-RFRS periods. In topic number three, regarding value relevance aspects linked to RFRS, we could see in general studies analyzing whether RFRS indeed improved the association between accounting quality and market values. Here we find some mixed evidence demonstrating, for example, higher relevance for earnings, but indeed depending on enforcement as something that really matters here as well, or even an emphasis regarding some robust econometric models and cross-country comparisons. The topic number four regarding the due process of RFRS, which was something that we briefly discussed in the dinner last night, basically we'll talk about how political and institutional forces here is important for the work of IASB. Some studies also discuss lobbying by preparers and professional bodies as something that indeed is constantly debated here, or even theoretical papers talking about legitimacy as something that is challenged here. In topic number five, in RFRS in banking industry, there is a tremendous discussion on IFRS 39 versus IFRS 9, as many of us are already familiar with this discussion regarding incurred versus expected loss model. We also have some papers talking about the importance of IFRS 7 in order as an important mechanism for improving transparency and reduce market bank risks. In topic number six, we find here many papers making comparisons between RFRS and US GAAP, and some of them find partial convergence, but key conceptual enforcement gaps also persist, or even talking about disclosure quality and comparability among the two setting of standards. In topic number seven, regarding RFRS on fair value aspects, we find here many debates regarding IAS 19, IAS 40, and 41, as something really important here, considering the fair value behind these standards. The reliability and valuation hierarchy regarding level one, two, and three is also something very discussed here. In the topic number eight regarding earnings quality related issue, here I think that it's worth to mention that probably this is the topic where we find a higher divergence, mixed findings regarding improving of earnings quality across countries, and maybe here the methodological approach that are indeed very different among those studies could be something important to mention as well. Here, these papers usually will talk about the enforcement culture and audit quality as being important conditioned outcomes here. Last but not least, We have Top Kanani as well, talking about global capital markets, where we find, for example, effects of our FRS adoption as something important to reduce information frictions and home bias, or even promote foreign investments and analyst forecast accuracy as well. And in the topic number 10, to conclude here, regarding practices of our FRS related to implementation and discretion, usually studies here will talk about how accountants indeed apply judgment and discretion in practice, where here IAS 736, a lot of papers talking about our FRS 3 here and IAS 39 as well. And highlighting behaviors and cognitive discretions here of our FRS implementation. Well, in the last part of our paper, we also comment about how those topics can be associated with some IASB current working projects. Among other projects, we mentioned in the paper these three ones. Three related to financial instruments, two regarding consolidation issues, and one regarding rate-regulated activities. Just to mention really briefly, we believe that these two projects related to amortized cost management or even financial instrument with equities characteristics can be here framed in topics 10, for example, or the discussion related to topic 5 can be really useful to understand these projects, or the dynamic risk management as something really important to be discussed here in topic number 5. To conclude here, we have also the business combination project that could be framed as well in topics related to value relevance and topic 8 regarding earnings quality, and even the equity method project related to the implementation in discretions in topic 10. And finally, very briefly, the topic related to rate regulatory activities, the discussion that we provide in topic 3 and 8 can be also useful here. So to conclude here, we are analyzing here this large sample of our FRS studies. We believe that our analysis indeed provide a systematic and data-driven map of our IFRS research in broad terms, and we indeed expect that this discussion can strengthen the dialogue between academia and standard settings supporting evidence-based accounting regulation. So thank you so much for your attention, and thank you for listen to me during all this time. Thank you.